Hi, good afternoon,
Love
everyone, and
radio.
Welcome. Oops, I always forget that part. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Life Coach Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Barbara Hetzel, and today's episode is Living Life Like You Are on Vacation. I'd like to take a couple of minutes, first of all, to introduce myself and then to allow my co-hosts to introduce themselves also. My name is Barbara Hetzel, and I am a certified professional coach who works with people in nonprofit and for-profit organizations helping to develop their skills and talents and leadership abilities. I'm the owner and the founder of Ridgetop Coaching, LLC, and I specialize in life and leadership coaching for engaging leaders to develop and expand their skills for their organizations and also for the world. And so I'm happy to be with you all this afternoon. So let me get to introducing my co-host today. My co-hosts are Carrie Spaulding and Rochelle Herring-Peniston, and I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves to you. And so, Carrie, why don't you start?
Sure. It's so great to be here with both of you. So I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach, and I help 30-somethings who aren't where or who they thought they'd be with their careers or their relationships and their lives generally. So often my clients are experiencing what I call 30-something panic and feeling like they should have figured it all out by now. And what I do is help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they really want in their lives. So sometimes that involves navigating some pretty big transitions like career changes, breakups, big moves. And I also help 30-somethings create and nurture healthy and satisfying relationships. And another big passion of mine is supporting parents with navigating children's social and emotional challenges and positive and effective communication. And I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which I really love because it means I get to work with people from all over the place. And you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can reach me there and sign up for free tips and tools over there on my website. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach, 30-something written out, no numbers, no spaces. And you can also follow me on Twitter at @SpaldingCarrie. And finally, if you want to send me a direct email, you can do that at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com.
Well, great. Thank you, Carrie. And, geez, you know, where were you when I was 30? I probably could have used you. Because I think, you know, I really do think that, you know, people that are at that age, you know, you're really trying to decide and develop, you know, where you want to go next in your life. And it's great that that there's coaches like yourself out there that can help people to navigate that and to set, you know, clear goals for themselves and for the, whatever the next phase of their life is. So thanks again, Carrie, for joining today. And now here's
so
Rochelle.
Thanks so much for having me join you.
Oh, you're welcome. And now, Rochelle, how about you introduce yourself to our listeners today?
Hi, my name is Rochelle Herring-Peniston, and I do coaching mostly with small business owners and leaders, and from time to time I work with designers. I think the goal that most of my clients have is that they're in the midst of a flurry of activity and they want to bring coherence to either their leadership style, what they're designing, or to their business services. And so we work together to make sure that they have a vision in mind, that it's clear and they're able to communicate it, and that vision is coherent in word and deed in terms of all the services that they provide and the communication, the way they present themselves as well. And so if you want to reach me, you can do so by reaching me at Rochelle@coachforlifeanddesign.com.
Great. Thanks, Rochelle. And I think there are two things that you said that were pretty interesting to me. One is you talked about communication. You talked about coherence. And I think having both of those two in the same sentence just says a lot about how we as coaches can really help people to get to the place that they want to get to and do that effectively. So I'm happy that you're with us on the show today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, so any listeners that are with us today, if you would like to participate, and we welcome your participation in our conversation today, the call-in phone number is 646-716-9397. Once again, the call-in number to participate for listeners is 646-716-9397. And there's also a chat room. If you are online and you are at your computer, you can chat with us also during the show today and join the conversation that way. So our topic today is living life like you were on vacation, and I'm sure that kind of sparks a lot of different ideas for people. But I just want to talk a little bit about that, introduce our topic, and then really get the conversation rolling along here. So here we are, summer coming to its unofficial end with Labor Day, because we all know summer doesn't really end until 3 weeks into September. But in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Labor Days here, and I hear a lot of people talking about how great their time off was and how they all wish that they were still on vacation, or, oh, my God, I just got back from vacation, and I'm ready for another one. It's been pretty well documented in a lot of different places that Americans don't get a comparable amount of vacation as other developed countries. And on average, those that do get an allotted amount of time don't take all of it that's available to them. So already we're in a vacation deficit, as it were, here in the United States, at least according to the studies. So I really wonder, like, why does it seem that only at designated times in our year do we give ourselves the permission to slow down and take time off? And what would it really mean to live life like you were on vacation all the time, not just at those designated times that we block off on our calendar, a week here, a long weekend there? So Carrie or Rochelle, you know, how about Rochelle, you start? If you could just, you know, talk a little bit about how you think, what it would mean like to live life like you're on vacation all the time and not just designated times, and the importance of that.
Well, I think on vacation, the first thing people do is unplug. And so now in the days of email, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, people are on all the time and never have any white space. And so when they take vacation, what happens is sometimes it's dictated to them to unplug because their destination doesn't have Wi-Fi, or they just get involved with their family and their family saying, put that phone down, you know, or their friends, pressure from their friends. So what vacation does is give you the opportunity to unplug and have some downtime. I think the other thing that it means to be on vacation is really just eating things that you enjoy. So taking in all of the different flavors and the aromas of your favorite foods, not overindulging, but doing it in the company of family and friends. A lot of times when people talk about vacation, they talk about trying out new restaurants, or they talk about new desserts they discovered. And it's always something social that they do with their friends around eating. So in some ways, it's not just about eating. It's about the ritual of celebrating and being in the company of others. And I also think it's just about taking time to appreciate your atmosphere, your overall surroundings, and being able to, say, look up at the sky and say, oh, that's so pretty, or feel the breeze and say, oh, that feels so good. So it's really about appreciating being in the moment, being able to try out new and exciting things, and just be able to gain some perspective about the world being larger than something that you have to take control of, you know, right away. I think when people don't unplug, they forget that the world is bigger than what they can see on their phone, and that by experiencing it, having new and novel experiences with family and friends, that makes you feel like you've been on a vacation. So those are the things that I think about.
I think about, you know, those are similar kinds of things that would come up in my mind, but I'm really curious as to why do we think that we can only do those things when we're on vacation? Like, what makes us, what goes on in our heads that says, well, I can only enjoy new things when I'm on vacation, or I can only, you know, put down my phone without, you know, the family peer pressure, you know, to, you know, when I'm on vacation. Like, what is it about our society or our culture that you know, gives us the message that those things can only happen or tend to only happen on vacation? How can we bring that stuff into our everyday life? And, Carrie, maybe you have some insights into that.
Yeah, well, and I'm struck. I was sort of thinking the very same thing, Barb. When Rochelle, when you were talking, I was struck that all of these things that you mentioned are not specific to, you know, actually being on vacation. They're things that we can choose to do in our everyday lives. And I think I'll sort of answer your question with a story, a personal story. I used to have a, and I say used to just because we were sort of long out of touch after a big move, but I had a good friend who one day, years and years and years ago, it was a perfectly normal work day, and he just kind of remarked to me something that really made me giggle. He said, "I've decided that I'm on vacation indefinitely, and sometimes you have to work on vacation." And that made me laugh. I thought it was a little ridiculous, but I just kind of, I never forgot it, though. And it popped into my head again this spring at a time when I was feeling really, really busy, just really stretched. And I'm lucky to have work that I absolutely love and lots of people in my life, a very full social life that I really enjoy. So I'm very grateful for that. But there was this period where I was just feeling like, one minute it was March and suddenly it was May, and I just really felt like I could use a little break, but I didn't have one coming up. And my friend's comment just popped into my head, like, amazing how these things from 10 years ago can come into our minds, that sometimes you have to work on vacation. So that particular day I happened to have a couple of hours blocked out for a long lunch with a friend, and I decided that I was going to be on vacation for the next 2 hours. So I walked into the coffee shop and into the restaurant, and I sat down and I said, "I'm on vacation for 2 hours." And my friend gave me kind of a funny look. But what was amazing is that it completely changed my experience of this very, you know, this middle of my work day. My body totally relaxed. I let out that kind of, that you do when you're at the beginning of a quote-unquote real vacation. And like Rochelle was saying, I felt very tuned in to everything that was around me. You know, I tasted my food, I feel like, in a richer way. I noticed all of the cute things in the restaurant. I was able to really be present and listening to my friend, and I just felt completely clear to really enjoy her company. And it was just awesome. And it was a real reminder for me that vacation is a mindset. Our thoughts are so powerful, and our frame of mind can just completely alter an experience. And, you know, so when you make the choice or when you give yourself permission to go to that place, to unplug, really unplug in the same way that you would on vacation, even for just something as little as 15 minutes, it's just incredible, like, the difference that 15 minutes makes for you. When you give yourself these little bits of vacation in your day, you return refreshed, and you're more ready to create, more ready to engage with your colleagues or your friends, whoever's around you. And we've probably all had the experience of having some of our greatest ideas in moments of relaxation, because relaxation really fuels that productivity and creativity. And when we return to our desks, we feel replenished and we're ready to jump back in. So I feel lucky to have had that wonderful friend once upon a time who said, "Sometimes you have to work on vacation," because it's really changed the way that I do my downtime in my everyday life, not just when I'm sitting by a beautiful lake or in some sunshiny place.
Oh, that was a great story, Carrie. Thanks for sharing. And the thought that kept running through my mind is, you know, how great it is that, you know, we have these wisdom voices in our lives, you know, you with your friend from 10 or so years ago, but that somehow those wisdom voices, they stick with us somewhere in our psyches, and that their message comes through again just probably when we need it the most, if we, you know, bother to, you know, pay attention to it or to, you know, hear it in whatever way it you know, makes itself available to us. Right? So that's the first thing I thought of. And the other thing
it's amazing,
I thought of,
right?
Is,
because, you know, and sometimes we get these gifts from people at a time when we're not yet able to use them. right? Like at the time that he said that, I thought it was funny, but I didn't do anything with it, then I couldn't have. So sometimes those gifts, they simmer until you're ready to hear them in a way.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I use this this saying all the time, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, which I'm sure other, if that's not mine, I'm sure other people have heard that or used that also. But yeah, you know, those things, you know, kind of pop back into our consciousness when we're ready, when we're really ready for the message and we understand its application for us. And I think it's really important to the point that you made, and I want to make sure our listeners, you know, hear it again too, is that just changing your mindset can change everything about your perspective of whatever your situation happens to be. So, you know, you were talking about just, you know, going out for a long lunch with a friend, and that just for that time period, you created the mindset that you're on vacation. And I think that's a really great tip for our listeners to kind of take away from the show already, to say, you know, it can be that simple. It doesn't have to be big and heavy and a cumbersome, you know, major change in your life. It's something that is, you know, simple, short, really doable in the moment that you want to do it. And I think that's a really important piece. Rochelle, did you have any comments that you wanted to share?
I think I used to do work with someone, and he used to say, life is a movie, so you have to write your own script. And so I used to, at first I was like, well, that's kind of not helpful, you know? I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. And what he was saying, you know, much later, I realized is that you get to write your own story. So when you write your own story, what is it that you really want to say? And so that helps you to make choices about how you spend your time, where you spend your time, and who you spend your time with. So I would say in some ways, in this vacation aspect of living your life like it's on vacation is almost like, if you were to write a movie and you were the star, you know, what would you want the experience to be like that you are telling the story about, and then go out and live it? So when you were talking about, Carrie, when you were talking about your colleague, that made me think of mine, what he used to say all the time, and how when I finally got it, I was able to start making some changes and pause myself in moments where I'm starting to get a little too intense or take myself too seriously or overschedule. It's like, wait a minute, I'm writing this story, so what do I want it to say?
I love that, Rochelle, and I think when you said you have to write your own script, something that kind of popped into my mind was even how just powerful our language is, whether it's the language that we speak to others or whether it's the internal monologue. What a difference there is for our show topic today. An example would be, what a huge difference between, I only have 15 minutes, right? It's time for lunch and I only have 15 minutes versus I have 15 whole minutes or I have 15 minutes, right? What an energy shift right there. And taking away that I only have 15 minutes line, taking that out of your script and turning it into, I have 15 whole minutes. For me, I experience not just sort of a mental shift, but like a physical, my body changes because I'm ready to really enjoy and sort of luxuriate in every single one of the seconds that's going to make up these 15 minutes. And when I return, I'll be much more refreshed. So I think that the script point is so important. And we kind of live in a world of a busy, like a lot of our dialogue and our script is with busyness, right? I'm so busy. I have this to do. It's the to-do list. And it's a beautiful tip, I think, also for our listeners to think, what do you want your script to say? Right. You get to write it. Nobody else is writing it.
Absolutely. I think that those are great images, I think, for our listeners to really start to reflect on their own lives. You know, what kind of life do they really want to live, and how do they want to go about doing it, even in small increments, that it is really something that you can be successful at pretty quickly and pretty easily just by choosing to, you know, turn it around and, like Rochelle was talking, write your own script. You know, write your own story. Be the lead character. You know, be the heroine or the hero. You know, in any way that you want that to manifest itself. So this is a great conversation. I want to invite our listeners again. If there's anybody out there that's live on our show and wants to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. Once again, the call-in number for listeners is 646-716-9397. Rochelle, I wanted to follow up and go back to something you had said early on, and you were talking about unplugging and, you know, the family pressure to, you know, put the phone down already, enough already, you know, kind of thing when we're on vacation. But what is it that happens, or this is more of a rhetorical question, but, you know, it helps the conversation. Media pulls so much at us, you know, whether it's our you know, texting and the compulsion to feel like as soon as a text comes in, we have to respond to it right away, or we have to keep checking our Twitter or our Facebook accounts, you know, throughout the day because, you know, God forbid something would go past us and we'd miss it, you know, the cute puppy video or the notification of a really good article or just, you know, an update of a friend's, you know, activities of the day. But what is it that you think, you know, pulls us like that? And that when we, you know, when we don't respond in a timely fashion to the person that is sending us something, we somehow apologize for that. We are kind of saying, oh, wow, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you in the next, you know, 10 seconds. I got back to you 3 hours or, you know, 2 days later, you know. So what is it about media that, you know, kind of, you know, almost like it feels like sometimes it feels to me like it demands my instant attention. And okay. I find, you know, then I get really unfocused on everything else that I'm doing because something's beeping over here or something's buzzing over there or I got a reminder setting on my calendar that's going off and I lose my train of thought, I lose my concentration, and if I'm in a work environment, now I'm like Carrie, you know, I have a job that I love, you know, I love coaching and I love, you know, working with my clients. But I know people in office environments, in corporate America, you know, that are really, you know, have to be glued to their email because, you know, something's going to come that they have to respond to in a work environment. And a lot of people work with smartphones. And so, you know, texts are coming in from their colleagues or their bosses. You know, I know some bosses are really into, you know, IMing, you know, their folks. They want them instant. I have a question I want to ask you. I want it answered right away. And so how is that, Mike, it's a rhetorical question, but how do we help or how do we encourage or how do we support people in stepping back from all of those electronic distractions even while they're at work, so that they can, like, change their thinking and, you know, oh, wow, I have 15 whole minutes to be on vacation while I'm at work. Those are just kind of things that are rolling around in my head. And, Rochelle, you sparked it when you started talking about unplugging and being on vacation. So, I don't know, Carrie, maybe Carrie or Rochelle, whatever, whoever wants to jump in.
Well, I'm thinking that there are a few things that I've had to learn how to do over the past year or so because I've joined various groups. And so one thing that I do is I keep the ringer on my cell phone off. Mm. And I check it periodically. And the reason why I do that is because I get a lot of calls, and all of the calls are maybe about different topics or different subjects. And so in order for me to stay focused on what I'm doing, I need to have my full attention on what I'm doing and not scattered around. But that's not to say if you're, you know, those of us who are parents, you know, you don't check your phone when they're home with a babysitter. But what I am saying is have chunks of time where you don't look at your phone, because you can answer 4 text messages at once. You can answer a couple of emails at once, but in some way start to schedule it a little bit. And then the second thing that I've been better at with at least 2 email accounts that I have is just letting people know that I don't check the email all the time. And I actually got this idea from another coach friend of mine, Amy. She has right on her email account, I check this email at 6 a.m. and at 6 p.m. Just to let people know in a nice way, like, here's my boundary, you know, around email. And then I think it's important in the workplace to set up agreements about how often people are going to respond, because I know I used to do work where I had to visit different sites. And so if I'm on a site visit and we're walking around a school or we're doing a teacher professional development, I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm going to miss your call because I'm engaging with the client. And from time to time, people are like, we've been calling you for hours. I'm like, well, I've set my bag in the principal's office and I walked around the school with him. So I'm sorry, I wasn't right on my phone. And so I would have to say to people, you know, when you have my schedule, if it's something urgent that you need to, something you need to talk to me about, call the school directly, but I'm not going to have my cell phone with me while I'm walking around the school. So I think it's important as you set up relationships and you find that they're email heavy or text message heavy or phone call heavy, to just let people know, this is when I check my phone, or be a lot more deliberate about scheduling in when you're going to do those things that normally are time drainers. Because I know myself, before I started, you know, keeping the ringer off on my phone, one phone call would turn into, oh, let me check my email, oh, let me check this email, oh, let me watch this video. And I would say, wow, where did the day go? So I had to develop some discipline on my part and some structure around when I was going to do stuff and what, and I'm getting better at communicating to people what those boundaries are, so that they don't expect me to respond to them, you know, within 5 minutes. Even with my children, they're like, Mom, I want this. I keep telling them, I'm not the iPad. You can't just press me like you do an app and then I immediately perform. You know, you have to give me a minute to be able to respond to your request. So those are some ideas that I, you know, have about how you can really protect yourself from being sucked into all of the time wasters or time demands.
Carrie, any thoughts bubbling up for you?
Yeah, well, lots, and Rochelle, such really practical tips that I think any, you know, and I really encourage our listeners even just to choose one, because setting boundaries is really hard. And even just choosing one of those things to just experiment with for a week could really make a huge impact in your life, some of these things that Rochelle mentioned. And you know, this is really all about boundaries, which I know that we're going to talk probably more about. One of the most important principles when it comes to setting boundaries is that we teach people what to expect from us. We teach people what to expect from us, and you are the only person who can set, communicate, and maintain your boundaries. So we teach people that we answer emails at 3 in the morning, or we teach people that we will respond to a text immediately, or that certain hours are sacred and we won't interrupt them except for an emergency, or that Sundays are off limits. These are all things that people learn based on our behavior, and it takes a lot of courage and a lot of practice to change the message that you're sending and to step back. And it takes practice to not answer that phone or to not open that article or to not check that Facebook news feed. And, you know, I also want to acknowledge it's really normal to have that pull to respond immediately, especially because pings and notifications and email in your inbox serve as social validation. And we know that love and belonging are fundamental human needs. And when we have all these pings and we have these things coming into our inbox and we're back and forth and we're texting, we have this sense of connection and we have this sense of being engaged in communication with others. And so it's a really, it's a natural instinct. And in our professional lives, being constantly busy can give us a sense of significance or importance. It can also be a form of procrastination, right? It really, it protects us from having to do the higher level things. So one great question I would say to ask yourself is, you know, almost using a metaphor with like junk food or food that doesn't really nourish you. When you're engaging in social media or when you're texting or when you're doing any of these things, that might be a perfectly valid activity to be doing. But maybe ask yourself, is this feeding me really? Right? So if I just step back from Facebook for 10 seconds, is this actually feeding me in any real way? Feeding me meaning, is it nourishing my sense of real connection? Is reading this article really feeding my intellect or my soul right now? Or is it about something else? Is it about procrastinating the thing that I really need to be doing? Is it about I'm afraid to give myself permission to be on vacation, that I don't believe I'm supposed to ever be able to sit idly? Or, you know, maybe is it about fear of upsetting someone, fear of letting someone down, fear of missing out on something? Like if I don't respond to this text or if I don't do this, I'm going to miss out. You know, some people are really afraid to not pick up the phone when it rings because they believe that a phone ringing is like that they must respond. And one of my favorite tips I ever got about this was from, I believe it was from Thich Nhat Hanh, who I feel like I end up quoting in every radio show that I do. So apologies,
Lesna.
I have read more books. I have read more than Thich Nhat Hanh, but you wouldn't know it from the way I talk. But, you know, he says, I think it was him who I read this. He said, people think that the phone ringing is a sign that you need to answer the phone. A phone ringing is information that somebody out there wants to talk to somebody here. But it doesn't, there's no rule with what happens next. I'm totally paraphrasing. But the truth is that if the phone rings, kind of to go back to what Rochelle was saying, at some point you were talking about, you kind of sparked this in my mind, and I can't remember precisely what you said. If the phone rings when you're not in a state to really bring your best self or to be giving your full attention, you're actually doing a better service to other people if you don't pick it up and wait to speak to them until you can be fully engaged. And that's a reframe that you can use when you're kind of feeling guilty for setting that boundary.
Right. And
yeah,
I mean, for me, it's not even like that I'm not in a good mood. It's just that during the day, to be fully engaged, I need quiet. And, you know, it's like I need quiet so that I can focus. And the phone is noisy. You know, you get that, it rings, you get that notification when you get a text, you get the notification when you have email. And I have more than one email address set up on my phone. So it's like the phone is really noisy. And so it's like really thinking about, you know, how do you get the space to think? And people are different. There are some people that need that constant buzz to stay stimulated to do, you know, to do their work. So I definitely agree with you. It's kind of like if you're not in the mood or you can't give someone your best self, like definitely just take time out. But even that, just to have some quiet and go through your day to feel like you're not being pulled away from stuff that's important to you, you know, that's a way to find your space too. Because you know when, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes when you first start engaging in self-care. Like you said, people feel guilty, but you can't really give to others unless you are whole yourself. And coming to understand that is, I think, a foundation step to being able to do the things that are best for, you know, choose what's best for you.
I think that's for both of what you're sharing. I think the whole that concept of knowing yourself and knowing what you need to be, what boundaries you need to be able to have, based on your personality, based on the kind of work that you're trying to accomplish or you're trying to focus on, or just based on a need to, you know, surround yourself with a certain calmness around what you're doing. You know, you're kind of like setting the stage for your preparation for to do whatever it is the work that you're trying to accomplish. I think that we have a lot of pressures that build on us, telling us that, you know, well, I'm at work, I'm supposed to act this way at work, rather than just be at work and be who you are in that environment, but not have to compromise it if what you're looking for is quiet in order to complete a task or work on a project. That's fine. That's okay.
Well, it's just interesting when you said that to think, like, what would it look like if vacation me went to work today, you know, and still did all the responsibilities that I'm supposed to do and you know, followed through on my appointments. But what would that sort of way of being, if you can kind of, like, channel your vacation self, who might be smiling and physically relaxed and really present and calm, what would it look like for that person to go to work? It's just an interesting kind of thought experiment that our listeners might try, you know, that we all might try to think about, you know, channel that way that we felt on vacation and then show up and be ourselves, as you said, Barb.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We think we can't be. You know, a lot of times we think that we have to be one way with, you know, one group of people that we interact with, one way with another group of people we interact with. And, yeah, what would it be like if we were just who we were, you know, and that's how we showed up. And it was all all right. It was all fine. You know, the world didn't collapse and nobody got mad, you know. And the energy was high all the time. That would be a great way to kind of, you know, set your goals or set your sights, your intentions for how you want to be in the world. So I just want to remind our listeners again, just a little call out to our listeners. If you want to call in, the number is 646-716-9397. Once again, 646-716-9397. I just want to take a couple of minutes to talk about what some upcoming shows are on the Life Coach Radio Network, so in case something sparks your interest and you want to call into that show or you want to listen to it as you're able. So coming up next on the Life Coach Radio Network is the Happy Healthy Hour with Health Coach Jen Duffy, and that is tomorrow at 5 p.m., that's Eastern Time. And then this coming Monday at 8 p.m. is the show Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen Kotler. And then following her on Tuesday, August 27th at noon, is Fund to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. So those are the three upcoming shows on Life Coach Radio Network. And then on our sister station, the International Life Coach Radio, we're invited to join Shervasky Superville. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. for the show, When is the Right Time to Have Sex? We'll also also let our listeners know that we are launching a third network, and that's called Life Coach Chat Channel. And that's it already had its premiere episode, but it's going to come in with a fuller schedule starting in September. So keep an eye out and a listen out for shows that are coming up on the Life Coach Chat channel. And then I'll be on again next Friday, August 30th, on the Life Coach Chat with two new co-hosts, Dexter Cicero and Veronica Taylor, and that's also at noon. So I just want to jump back into something, Carrie, you were saying, and Rochelle, you were tagging on to it also, about boundaries and being able to set boundaries around our time, around our abilities to around how and when we want to engage people. And I think about this because it was so present to me thinking about this show coming up. I was just off for a couple of days, and I was with my sister and my niece and my nephew, and we were having a great time together. We hardly ever get that amount of time together, just ourselves. And I had a couple of phone calls that I had to make, And I wasn't necessarily feeling like Carrie was talking about saying I have to work sometimes when I'm on vacation, you know. I was feeling, you know, saying, I was feeling like, oh gosh, I wish I didn't have this call, you know, because I was like, I was on vacation, you know. It felt like an interference. But obviously I agreed to it, even though I knew I was going to be away. But, you know, I'm getting a lot of great tips from this conversation today, and I'm thinking, what is it about not, we feel like we can't set boundaries sometimes around when we're doing something and we don't want to be disturbed by the phone. There's a feeling that, and I think, Carrie, you were talking about this, you know, the social importance of, you know, feeling like you're engaged, you know, when an email comes in or a text comes in. What is it about our I don't know what word I'm looking for, but, you know, our security that says, you know, it's okay I don't catch that latest Facebook update. It's okay that I don't get that the tweet, you know, that I can just, you know, I can attend to it later, and it doesn't mean that I'm not cared for by the people out there that care for me. You know, that I'm secure in my own sense of self, that I can disconnect and I can create boundaries. I can, you know, only answer my email at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Why is it so hard for us to set those boundaries, and the other side of that is hold to them? Because it's one time, it's one thing to say, okay, I set a boundary, and then finding all these exceptions creeping in. And then our boundary just becomes too movable that it stops becoming a boundary anymore. So that we really can be intentional about living our life like we're on vacation, living our life as if it's, you know, we are refreshed and relaxed and bringing our best selves to whatever task is at hand for us. Those are some of my thoughts.
Well, Barbara, I think one of the things that you said that's so important is that, you know, a lot of that is about, you know, really living into the belief that, you know, I am enough, right? I'm enough whether or not I'm on this email chain. I'm enough if I don't get all these pings on my Facebook page. And so a big part of the work is cultivating self-worth and being really sort of aware. Again, like when you're engaging in certain activities, is it coming from fear or is it coming from love and engagement and passion and presence? And one thing I know from my own life very well and from my work with people of all ages is that relationships are really improved when even one of the people in the relationship steps up to set and communicate and maintain boundaries. It's, of course, even more amazing when both people in the relationship are doing that in a healthy way, but it's really amazing what can happen and what can shift if even one person does it. And this can be incredibly hard to do, but it pays off. You know, a life with healthy boundaries is really, and a relationship with healthy boundaries is one of integrity and self-respect and respect of others, and it really fosters a healthy interdependence instead of a sort of a more codependent situation. And you know, boundaries also, we really get more out of people and out of ourselves when we let them take care of themselves, when we respect their boundaries to do what they need to do, and when we take care of ourselves. And, you know, it's interesting, which just popped into my mind, and I think it's because this is a vacation show. When I was on vacation recently, I had the luxury of 4 days with my dear cousin, who we're sort of kindred spirits. And we had a conversation where about sort of she really needed a particular period of time to just completely unplug and to be quiet. She identifies as an introvert, and that's so important for her to have the time to just sort of pull out. And she was able to communicate that to me proactively rather than reactively, right? It was in a time that we weren't even talking. And she said, you know what, I think I'm going in right now. I think I'm just going to go into myself for a little while. And when people are able to do that, and so she was able to communicate it, I was able to say, cool, you know, and respect it. And then when we were kind of hanging out again later, both of us were doing it with full energy and engagement, and you know, neither of us takes it personally because we've cultivated this relationship of total communication and respect. And it really, it makes an amazing difference how boundaries can really build your trust and your collaboration and partnerships and teams and friendships, because the individuals don't feel their needs are being threatened when they know that their relationship is going to respect their boundaries. So it's really, it is challenging, and it's so worth it. But it's one of the most triggering things you can do to really keep yourself maintaining those boundaries, though, because sometimes we're really scared of what people are going to think of us, or, you know, it takes a lot of courage sometimes to set that boundary. So Barb, I think I kind of came at that from a few different ways, mm-hmm. But that's kind of what popped into my head when you were talking about why it's so hard and how it can impact our relationships.
I love how you said the piece about, you know, you just don't, you respect it, and that you don't take it personally. And I think that that's a big piece for people. They think that boundaries are, if I'm setting a boundary, the boundary is about me. The boundary is about what I feel like I can accomplish or do or can be at any given moment, any given time. But I think a lot of times people feel like the boundary is about them, is about the person other outside. Mm-hmm. Like the people outside think, well, they don't want me. They're trying to block me out. So if I set a boundary and somebody out, you know, somebody in my circle of friends, you know, takes offense at that because they do take it personally somehow that I don't want to be with them or I don't want to talk to them or I don't want to engage them. And I think that piece of that mutual respect piece is so critical in learning that, you know, people setting boundaries is just, it's not personal. It's not about the other. It's about the individual who's setting the boundaries in the first place. I think that's really key. I don't know, Rochelle, do you have any thought about that?
That's so well said. It was such a great point that, you know, the boundary is not about you. It's about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think one of the, I give a lot. And so it's been really, I mean, at first it was a difficult transition for me to say, today I'm not going to give, or today I'm going to give to me. So that was really difficult because I was used to being the person that if anybody called me, I prided myself on being able to help them. And I was at a point where it's just too much. I was giving everything I had away, and then it's time for me to, that I'm too tired to live my life. And so, you know, having children sobers you in a way because, like, you can't give to others. And if you're going to keep up with them, you have to rest. There's no two ways about it. So I think you're exactly right. Me putting boundaries in place has really nothing to do with other people. They're just taking advantage of what you're offering. It has everything to do with me reminding myself not to offer up more than I can actually give, or I am not in this place where I can give until it hurts. You know, there's too much at stake for me, so I have to watch those things. So these strategies that I share on the call are things that I feel are helping me be more successful with time management and in managing my mood and then and feeling, you know, happy on a day-to-day basis. So it's like I don't have to wait until vacation to recharge. I can recharge every day because I have time set up in my day to take care of myself. And in years past, I would not have said the same is true.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of being able to recharge every day is really, you know, what we're talking about today. You know, that living life like you're on vacation. You know, people go on vacation so they can recharge their batteries and get to a place, you know, where they can, you know, think clearly again if they haven't been, or just, you know, relax their bodies, relax their souls, you know, relax their minds, so that they can get in touch again with, you know, who they are and how they want to be. And being able to do that every day, that's a huge accomplishment. And of course, you know, we hope that, you know, congratulations to you, Rochelle, for being able to, you know, to take the time to do that. And also we hope that for all of our listeners. Unbelievably, it's like 10 minutes to the hour. We only have 10 minutes left in our conversation today.
So I just want to offer a last-minute opportunity for either Carrie or Rochelle to have some last-minute thoughts you might have on our topic today, and also, once again, to let people know how they might be able to get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, my closing thought is that, you know, to kind of bring it back to the beginning, vacation is really a mindset, and over the next week, I would really challenge our listeners to go on vacation at least once. And when I say that, I'm talking about the mindset of vacation. So even if it's a lunch hour or a lunch half hour or a lunch 20 minutes over the next week, just to have that intention that no matter where you are, no matter what comes before or what will come after, completely unplug from the before and the after and just let yourself stop in that glorious vacation-y way and really be and vacate, right? There's the verb.
Mm-hmm.
Vacate that space of to-dos. Vacate that space of have-tos. For just one, even if you think of it as a long moment, right? I'm taking a long moment to vacate that space. And I would love to invite you to send one of us an email, or all of us, and tell us how that went. Tell us what came up for you. Or maybe if you, as a listener, if you have a really great tip for how you really let yourself take a mental and emotional break in the midst of your busy life, share your tip with us. We'd love to hear it and incorporate it into our own practices. And if you'd like to connect with me after the show, once again, you can do that at my website at carriespaulding.com, CarrieSpaulding.com. And I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach, all written out, all letters. And follow me on Twitter at Spaulding Carrie, and email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. And actually, the next time you can hear me on the Life Coach Radio Network, it's going to be in a very related topic or sort of an expansion. I'm doing a show all about boundaries and how to set boundaries. So I would love to have you tune in on, that's going to be on September 13th, also at noon on a Friday. And I really encourage you, as Barb already said, to check out many of the other shows. There are so many interesting topics on our networks, and you really have a lot of opportunities to hear some expertise in a lot of different areas. So it's been a pleasure being on vacation with all of you for the last almost hour.
Thanks, Carrie. It was great insights for our listeners. Rochelle, any closing thoughts on how folks might be able to get in touch with you?
So I would just encourage everybody to look at giving yourself a daily vacation as a strong vehicle for helping you to move towards your vision and what you, all the things that you want for your life. And I think it's just important to not have your time be chipped away at and really small things that don't amount to the big goal that you're reaching towards. So it's just important to remember to take care of you so that you can live in your vision. The next time I will be on the radio is on September 15th, where I will be launching my show. And my show will be called Flip the Script, Take Control of Your Own Narrative. And it'll be really focusing, the format of the show will focus on coaching people to tell themselves a story that's more empowering and uplifting than one that may currently be holding them back. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, you can reach me at Rochelle at coachforlifeanddesign.com.
Thank you so much, and good luck with the launch of your show. I'm sure that, and Carrie, I know you've been on a couple of times with your show, so you know, definitely encourage folks to check out both Carrie and Rochelle on their own individual shows coming up next month in September. And finally, just a couple of closing thoughts that I might have regarding our topic today is the word that kept coming up for me in the midst of all of our words was savor. I think that we don't And I know I don't. I don't savor life enough. I don't savor those moments of mental vacation because I'm always thinking about what I have to do next. And that's, you know, if I think about a takeaway that I've gotten from the conversation today, it's to really savor what is where you are in the moment and to be more in the present moment. And I think that that's a lot of what happens for folks when they're on vacation. They're not really worrying about what's coming up next or, you know, what meeting they have might have tomorrow. They're more relaxed. They're more present. And so that would be my little tip for our listeners today. And I would once again I would like to thank Carrie and Rochelle for our conversation this afternoon and for co-hosting the show with me. To our listeners, we hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found some good tips and strategies for living like you're on vacation. I'm Barbara Hetzel. You can reach me at my website, which is www.ridgetopcoaching, that's RIDGETOP coaching.com. You can also reach me on Facebook, facebook.com/ridgetopcoaching. You can reach me on email at info@ridgetopcoaching. And those are the best places to reach out to me. And I certainly welcome Carrie's invitation, if anybody feels compelled if they want to email any of us to tell us how you're doing. I'm sure we would all love to continue the conversation in that way. So I just want to echo what Carrie has offered. I also am on next week on the next Life Coach Chat, and that will be at noon next Friday. For our listeners, if you have any feedback for us or want to send us a message, you only need to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/lifecoachradionetwork, and then right under our profile picture is a follow button. And then once you follow us, you can send us a message via Facebook, and we will be happy to respond to you. So just a recap of some of our upcoming shows besides Carrie and Rochelle's. Tomorrow, August 24th at 5 p.m. is the Happy Healthy Hour with Health Coach Jen Duffy. Monday, August 26th at 8 p.m. is the show Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen Kotler. And on Tuesday, August 27th at noon is Fun to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. Those are all on the Life Coach Radio Network. And then on International Life Coach Radio, you can join Cervasky Superville, and that's tomorrow, August 24th at 2 p.m. for his show, When is the Right Time to Have Sex? So I'd like to thank you all once again, Carrie and Rochelle, and to all our listeners for joining us today, and we hope you have a great day and live life like you're on vacation. Thanks.